Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel this morning in chapter 22. I'm going to bring you up to here where David is. And before I do that, I want to thank you all that was taking care of some of my responsibilities as I was out for a little bit. I know Phil Marlowe did some preaching here, and Phil Fisher and Phil Jones. So all those guys preached, and I was out quite a bit there. With the COVID things, I know Phil Morrow did a lot of work for me there, covering some things. So I appreciate him and appreciate the things that some of you others were doing behind the scenes. So I do appreciate that. But what I want to do in the next couple of weeks is I want to remind us who we are here. That we are definitely in a place now that we need to continue to grow in different ways, physically, spiritually, but we also need to grow in some other areas as a church. I'm going to get back to our blackboard up here for those that don't know Christ, those we need to share the gospel with and pray for that. We need to get back onto that. So if you don't have a name up there, you need to pray that God will put a name up there for you, put upon your heart, because once we become a believer, it's not about us, it's about the Lord, and it's about lost people, it really is. But we're going to be sharing some things today as we go through this sermon, that you'll grasp a little bit more who we are, but also grasp on where we're kind of heading throughout the next few weeks. But today it's just we're kind of going into just really who we are, what is this place all about. We need to know that. And I know that sometimes we have different thoughts, and hopefully we can gather some of that. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 22, but I'm going to bring you up through 21. 21 is basically, here's a piece. David has done some amazing things. David's been anointed to be the next king, but he's not king right now. King Saul is king. But David has been anointed. David fought a battle that nobody else would fight. He defeated Goliath in the valley. There's a song that would say that Saul would kill or slay his thousands, but David would kill tens of thousands. So he had his fame for a moment. Now King Saul is looking for him. King Saul wants to take him out. And we find David in a place where he looks unfamiliar. We find him in a place now where it doesn't really look like the David that we all knew David to be through Scripture. Father, as we open up our hearts to you right now, we open up our minds that we may learn from these Scriptures, that we know that you are with us. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open to hear what you'd have for us today. That your word might sink into our hearts and into our minds, into our memories, that we would revisit this, Lord, throughout this day and throughout this week, this sermon. That it might inspire us and encourage us and remind us who we are here at New Life and who you are. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. He says, "So David left Gath and took refuge in the cave at Adullam. When David's brothers and his father's whole family heard, they went down and joined him there. In addition, every man who was desperate, in debt, or discontented, rallied around him, and he became their leader." But it says that David went to a place, a cave called Adullam. He went there. He's by himself. He is in a place like this. What happened in that cave? What happened in that cave? What happened in that cave with David and God? You see, he went to a cave called Adullam, which really it means refuge. There was a time and a place as Christians we're going to need to seek God as a refuge. I don't care if you preach here. I don't care if it's your first week here. If you have a relationship with God, you're going to need to find times of refuge with God. And if you don't know God, you need to run to Him as the refuge. But we need to be going to God from time to time as a refuge. And sometimes we go there and we're ready to go there, but other times we're not ready to go there. David is in a cave. He's hiding. And he's the guy that killed Goliath. He's had more victories than King Saul could ever think about. Wherever David went, he won. He danced in the streets for the Lord. He danced with his victories. They were all looking at him. And he runs to the enemy to hide his enemy. And he comes to the place where he comes to the enemy. And it's the people. He goes to Gath. It's where Goliath is from. And he starts clawing at the walls. And he starts drooling on himself. And he said, the man's crazy. He's acting like this. He's trying to figure a way to hide and fit in. It's not where he was supposed to be. They boot him out. And he ends up in this cave called Adullam. He ends up in this cave. What happened in that cave? Well, thank God for Scripture, because Scripture is going to tell us. But it's going to tell us in Psalms 142. I hope you know that David wrote a lot of the Psalms. David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and he writes from his heart, from the Spirit. You see, some of us, we want to keep running instead of, we want to run away from our problems. We want to run away from what God's called us to do. But if we don't surrender to God. David had a calling on his life. He was already anointed to be king. Does it sometimes feel like when you wake up, you don't feel like a Christian? You don't feel like the blessings of God are on you? I'm going to remind you that if you went to bed as a Christian and you wake up in the morning, you wake up as a Christian. Your circumstances don't change that. And God's called you to do something. If he didn't adjust something, you still got the calling. Psalms 142, what it is, it comes down to this place. Verse 1, he says, I cry aloud to the Lord and I plead aloud to the Lord for mercy. And I pour out my complaint before him. I reveal my trouble to him. Although my spirit is weak within me, you know my way. Along this path I travel, they have hidden the trap for me. Look to the right and see. No one stands up for me. There is no refuge for me. No one cares about me. We've all been there. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my shelter, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Free me from prison so that I can praise your name. The righteous will gather around me because you deal generously with me. What we see is David cries out to God in this cave. He couldn't do that where other places that he was. He needed to find that place. God drew him to a place where it was a quiet place. Just him and God. Let me ask, when's the last time you spent some quiet time with God? David is pouring out his whole heart. His whole heart, he's pouring out his pain before God. But although David is going through all of this, he still praises God. It's the difference. And you know the Lord, and you are walking, and you're maturing in the Lord, and you even got some setbacks in your life, you're still going to praise him. Mature Christians learn how to praise God in the good times and the bad times. Immature Christians praise God for everything they have and everything they want. Every Christian needs to be growing in their faith. If you think the Battle of Goliath was a testing place and a strengthening place for David, it was. But I'm telling you, it was the caves that he was in. This is not the only cave. This is the place where he began to throw it out. He began to lay it before the Lord. He got real with God. And I want to tell you, you that spent time with God alone, whether it's in your car or some parking lot or in your house or in your basement or out in your field, wherever it is, when you get real with God, I'm telling you, don't you get real with Him? With all your pains and sufferings, you do that. But sometimes we don't get serious with God until we feel the hurt and we feel the pain. And then our prayers become serious. And sometimes we start doing it, and it's almost like the Lord says, now you're talking to me. You're not talking at me. You know what I just said? So many of us are talking at God and not talking with God. And so we see David is in there. He's wrestling, but God's already doing something that he don't even know is happening. And that's what God does with you. David is in the cave. He's praying. He's stepping out. He's going back in. This is his place. But God is doing something in the hearts of other people. Listen, when you begin to pray, before you even begin to pray, God's already moving. He's already moving. What does it say? Back in 1 Samuel, David's brothers start to come. His family starts to come. Now David's brothers were there when Goliath was up and when Goliath was in the valley chanting and insulting the Israelites and his brothers didn't go down in there. But when they saw David, they ridiculed David for even being around. What do you want to watch what goes on? Go back to your fields. Go back to your the little ewes and lambs. Sometimes I think maybe David at this moment kind of forgot the victories that he had with God. But his brothers didn't. His brothers came in. They came to him. And his father's whole family came. The whole family came in. They bought into it. They came in. God was moving on this family. But it wasn't just them. It wasn't just that. It says they went down and they joined him together. God's already moving them. They're already walking toward that. But David's in the cave. He's praying. He's wrestling with this whole thing. But also it says, in addition, every man who was desperate, in need, and in debt. All these individuals, all these guys come. There's 400 of them. But I want to remind you, this is not the people you would pick. This is not the people that a king would pick. These are the people that would get arrested. These are the people that would be shunned. But God gathers them with him where he is at. Can I remind you, some of you that don't know, but these 400 men, this ragtag group, in the future becomes mighty men of God. They become listed in a big list of awesome warriors for God. The Bible says that they were good with the right hand just as they were with the left, and left as good as with the right. There was none like these guys. But at this time, they were not so great. God was preparing them. God was building up his closest allies right there. His so-called dream team of warriors, his most excellent, fierce warriors were coming in. And nobody even knew it, but God did. You see, God's already got a plan for these individuals. They're going to protect David. There comes a time when David's life, when he is king and he's in the battle, then he almost gets killed. And the soldiers come up. You can't do this. You can't come out here no more. There's a time when David says, oh, that I wish I could have a drink of water from the well. Three of them just didn't. That's all they needed to hear. Woo, right through the enemy lines, comes out and brings it. And David says, oh, how could I drink it? The men put their lives on the line and he pours it out as an offering and a blessing to God. These men become mighty men of God, and there's the mighty three, and then there's the chief of them. And this God, this is a team that you would not want to go up against. But it doesn't look like it right now. Right now, David's like, oh, I ain't got enough. Help me, Lord. I don't have to say David's name. I could put my name in it. Oh, Lord, help me. Because I still do it. Then it's okay. God wants us to pour our hearts out to Him. God wants us to do that. These people were looking for hope, leadership, purpose. I have a purpose in this world. My purpose in this world is to live out the life that God has set forth before me. Do you have a purpose to live out the life that God set forth before you? And you're going to live that like a book. And there comes the beginning of chapter one, you're born. And in the last chapter, you die. There's a purpose that God has for you. And you can live it your way or you can live it according to His will. And if you live it your way, then you reap your consequences. And you stand before God and you'll give an account as a man who has the wrong, has a man who has a fear of God. Not the kind of fear that you want to have. But you live it for God and His will. You follow in His ways and you live it out to the best of your ability. And praise God for His grace because you can't really do it without Him. Amen. And you're going to live that life out and you're going to come to the end. You're going to face God. You're going to give an account. But you're going to have a different type of fear of God. It's a holy fear of God. All creatures on earth fear God in a holy way. We're living in a society today that doesn't fear God in any way, fashion, or form. They're recreating what they feel God is by their own thoughts and ideas and imagination. That don't have nothing to do with anything with God. This place, New Life Fellowship, is a cave of Adullam. It's like a cave of Adullam. We need to understand that this is a place of refuge. This is a place of refuge. Can you remember those of you that was all the way back on State Street? I know we're reaching back. There's not as many, but there's a few. Can you remember when we bought the property out on Highway 9? We were going to be the next suburban church. You all remember that. Some of you were little kids then or teenagers, but you still heard us talk about it. But God began to bring in people into New Life that didn't look quite like everybody else. God was using it as a place of refuge where all the ladies and some men came across from the Little Fontaine while we were there. We were reaching people that didn't quite do or live or look like us in whatever way, fashion, or form. And God had to reveal to us that this is what we were to become. Not in the suburbs, but in the city. Where all churches, many churches are leaving the inner city, God was building this little ragtag group, is what we were. I'll say it, I'm Mr. Ragtag. Ragtag group right there in the middle of nothing. And God is, listen, I'm telling you, we are going to celebrate 20 years in September. We met in homes and we met down there at a little storefront piece. And there are churches all over town that were 10 times bigger than us. 20 times for some. We were this ragtag group. We made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. But it's always been a place of refuge. Always been a place of refuge. And where much is given, much is acquired. But the scripture also says where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. God has entrusted us with the heart and the brokenness of this city. That's who we need to reach, with the brokenness of the city. And you are supposed to be the mighty warriors. Because we haven't even scraped this community. I'm going to die serving this place. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to die serving here because I'm serving the Lord. I'm going to die here serving here. I already know that. So if you want another pastor, somebody's going to have to find someplace. I'm serving here until I'm done. I'm just telling you, I'm serving here. I sweat, tears, and blood's in this place. Listen, I banged my knuckles enough on these State Street to cross the street to this place, to all those houses. I banged my knuckles enough to know that I drew some blood. And I will do it again. I'm going to do it again. But I'm not going down not doing what God's called us to do. I am not going down in the grave with a bunch of, oh, I wish, oh, we could have, oh, we should have. But handing the keys over to the next guy, whoever that may be, handing it over and saying, this is it, yours, son. God bless you. Let the Lord work through you. And I don't want to hand over a mess, do you? Because just as much as one day I'm going to be done, so are you. And one of the pastors here may be end up doing your funeral. And one may be doing my funeral. Because we a team. I'm telling you, we a team. Because listen, most of you, look at me now, most of you don't fit in another church. Let's be honest. Most of you don't fit well in another church. Because you ain't educated enough. I'm not putting it down. You ain't got enough money. Your health ain't the best. You come from the wrong side of the tracks. Let me tell you, when God was pulling these 400 men, he picked 400 men that he wanted to pick. Because he knew that they couldn't do anything without him. They were nobodies. Listen, there's not a name mentioned in there. There were none of them, nobodies. But later you see, they become, 30 of them become, they listed. And you know when they listed, their fathers are listed with them. That's a whole other sermon. But let me tell you, when you do something great and for the Lord, let me tell you, I'm telling you this, it's a family affair. But I don't want to get all up into that, but I'm just saying, we need to know who we are. This church is a refuge. They're not coming, but they need to. I can drive into Huntington and nobody's in my way on Sunday morning. Nobody's in my way. I got caught speeding one time. It's because I was in a hurry. That's it. Just gave me a warning down on First Street. I wanted to say, nobody's up in your town, man. Nobody's awake. I looked around and I saw, I come in this morning. All I seen was cars parked everywhere. Okay, I get it. This neighborhood don't get up until 11 o'clock. I get it. It's true. Mission teams come. We don't knock on doors until after 11. Then they get up in the pajamas and start walking around the community. Half that, I'm just telling you, being honest, I've seen women walk around with no bras. I'm like, come on. People walking around, they look like they never take care of them. I'm just saying, they don't comb their hair. They don't take care of themselves. But these are the people that we need to be loving on. We got to get out there. We got to quit thinking it's only just going to come through a ministry lane. That is our biggest highway. But the church needs to rise up again and be that church and have that hunger it once had on State Street or across the street. We got to get that hunger back. But not only is New Life Fellowship a place of refuge, there are those people that find New Life Ministries as a place of refuge. And let me tell you, I'm going to say it. If you're at the Women's Life House or the other house, I'm going to tell you this. If your way was working, you wouldn't be here. You've tried how many different ways? It don't work. Your way don't work. There's only one way it works. That's you getting right with God and letting God speak in your life and you follow His will. But it's a refuge. It's a refuge at the meal ministry where people could come anywhere. Anybody in this whole county could come in and get a meal. And even if they want to step aside and talk to somebody about their day, there is those people who will take that time. They will come in and there's a place where no one should go hungry in Huntington. But people will sit on the couch and complain about it. Because it's too far away. It's okay. You only can lay it out for them. But there are people that do it, take it. And we be friendships with them. I can't wait till we can open it up. And the women's life house and the women's church, I'm telling you, it's a place of refuge and you don't have a place to go. It is a place to go. A refuge is a place of safety. And with this place of safety, we include God in it. Let me tell you, God don't cause our setbacks, we do. Our pains and sufferings, we mostly do self-infliction. The more you lean on God, the more you find out you're just not that smart. The more you trust in God, the more you find out, wow, I'm glad I'm trusting Him into myself. Because the more I trust in myself, I make pretty stupid decisions and pretty bad choices. And I don't like the consequences of those. But once we come to a place of realization and our heart moves and we start trusting in God and we listen to God, there's a place in there that things begin to change. David is in that cave of refuge. In our ministry, there's a place of refuge. For those that want to walk away, I don't have my phone. My phone's over there. I can show you 3 or 4 pictures right now of women that walked away and they're in jail right now. Because they didn't like the rules. They didn't like how to do things. And here's what I hear most of the time. I get a letter. I'm getting a lot of letters from men right now because the word is out already. That they want to come. But here, oh, I really made a mistake. I messed up. Okay, let's talk about that. We give mercy. We give grace. If you're not willing to listen, and you're not willing to make changes, it's not the place for you right now. Somebody else in. God is opening up doors for opportunities for refuge here through the church, through the women's shelter, through the women and children, through the meal ministry, and soon to be through the men's program, men's life house, and in the future, children. God's not playing here. I don't know if you know, but God's not playing. We're talking about people's souls, their lives, and their families. Eternal stuff. And God's not playing here. And God wasn't playing with David. God is not playing with David. What did David say? He said this. Although my spirit is weak with me, within me, he says this in the cave, although my spirit is weak within me, you know my way. Use him. God, you know the way. You know the way that I should go. And he wrestles with it. He says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my shelter. Not specifically the cave. That's when the wake-up call happens. It's not really the program who's the shelter. It is the physical shelter. But they find out it is God who is my shelter. Ministries is not at the top. The church is not at the top. It's God. It isn't I could do all things through new life. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we have these places of refuge. But sometimes when you're in the refuge, we're all here together. We need to talk to God. We need to get real with Him. There are some great pastors in this community. There's a few that I love very much. I love Jacob. I love up there at the well. I love Josh up there. I love him over at Union Church. I love some pastors, but I'm telling you, when it comes to doing what we do here, think about it for a minute. I want you to open your eyes. I really want you to pay attention for a minute. This is an amazing place. Your preacher's working on it, but this is an amazing place, all right? I'm always going to be a work in progress. I've hurt some of your feelings, and I've apologized to you in the past. I know I have messed up, but I'm telling you this. Listen, God has given me a lot of grace here and a lot of mercy. But I'm telling you this. You don't know the importance of this place. Do you know? We've had over 1,000 missionaries in this church. I went back and looked. We had over 72 at one time when we were across the street. 72 from Arkansas. One shot deal. 72! Stepping over sleeping bags everywhere. I'm just telling you, think about it for a minute. I'm just boasting on the Lord here for a minute. Listen. What church do you know that has 7 mission teams come in at 6 to 7 mission teams a year? Why is it that we are receiving mission teams from Mississippi to Georgia to Florida to Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, Illinois? Now it looks like we may get one out of the blue out of Missouri here. It just popped up this last week. Yep, Missouri, Tyler, that's where you live. Why is it that we see all these churches wanting to come around from across the country? Number one, we open our doors. When they see, why is a small church doing all these things that is impossible? Well, the Bible says in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible for God. And God, when He does something, it's always going to be bigger than man. So man leans on God to do it. You need to know how special this jewel in the muck is. It's not me. It's not you. It's Him. And if God, when we give God the reins and we allow God to do whatever He wants to do with us, and that's what He's doing, how would He do in your own life? If you give Him your life, I say, Lord, here I am. Do with it as you please. You can only talk about that kind of stuff when you get in a cave, a place of refuge. That's not a 5-minute conversation with God. Some of you need to rise up. Because we need mighty men and women in this church to rise up. I'll be talking to you in the future here. We need to make another hire because I can't do certain things anymore. I just can't. I just can't do it. You don't have the money. I don't have it, but I know who does. In addition, every man who was desperate and in debt and discontented rallied around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. God's calling him out. A prophet talks to David and says, now it's time to come out. Come out of the stronghold. You need to get away from that. Get away from that. Because really, the refuge is, this is what we tell. The refuge, this is the city of refuge, but you have to take, the real refuge is God. But we need places to come to get it together again. And every week, I need worship. Every week, I need to worship. Whether I'm preaching or not, I need to worship. But let me tell you how awesome David says, I got to do something with my parents. They're kind of getting up there. I'm going to take them to Moab. Moab. You know why Moab's important? Because his great-grandmother was Ruth. And she was Moab. She was Moabite. Taken back to the family. We don't even see that stuff in Scripture unless we really look at it. Ruth is this whole thing with Boaz, Ruth. Have we find out that David's going to go out there by Moab and going to give mom and dad a place of refuge, physical place of safety. And this is the prophet Gad said to David, don't stay in the stronghold, leave and return to the land of Judah. Listen, when David went, before he went into the cave, he was a mess. In the cave, he was a mess, but God was working on him. When he left that cave, he was not the same man as when he went in. That's when you know God has done a work on you. Not the same person as you were. I think God's waiting for some of you to say, Lord, I'm coming to the cave. I need a refuge. Your word is coming back void, it feels like it. Or my life is, I'm making some bad decisions. Or I'm feeling you want to use me, but I'm being stubborn and I'm pushing you back. But Lord, there's some things going on with me physically. There's things financially. There's things I can't get a job. Every time I get one, I lose one. There's some things, discontentness in my family. All we do is argue. Listen, everybody can find a moment of refuge with God. Because we are broken people living in a broken world. But we serve a solid rock Savior, Jesus Christ, who's never been broken spiritually nor physically. Quiet time alone is important. I think God gave me some quiet time these last few weeks. I was able to spend and read the whole book of Romans, Hebrews, 2 Corinthians, some other scriptures. And God just kept sinking and sinking it in, taking it in, taking it in, spending some time in prayer. I didn't realize how much rest I really needed. Because beforehand, I was coming up preaching. I was like, man, I'm just wrestling with preaching. I'm wrestling with the preaching. I'm wrestling with the preaching. God knew that I needed something that I didn't think I needed. Bob, we do need rest. We can't go 100 miles an hour all the time, Brett. We can't go 100 miles an hour. There's a time to push and push hard. But there's also a time to get in the cave with God. You want to hear a good testimony? You talk to my brother about what happened to him in the hospital. It's awesome. And to hear it from his own voice just moved my heart. Because sometimes when you don't think God's moving in your life, he's moving in somebody else's, and that is encouraging. And I believe that God wants some of you to get in that place of refuge. Some of you just keep pushing him away, pushing him away, pushing him away, pushing him away. Can I close with this? Sometimes we push God away because we know God. And if I get too close to him, then all my stuff gets spilled out. And that's what he wants to work with. And it gets uncomfortable. There was a time when I was struggling in spiritual warfare, probably about 10, 12 years ago. I really couldn't figure it out. The more I prayed, the more I wanted to draw closer to God, I just couldn't get, I just demonic flash, I just focused on the cross, and as the closer I got to it, the more the other junk went away, but the more I got closer to it, the more I felt like, oh my gosh. When you get into the presence of God, you find out how little you really are. But you also found out how awesome he really is. He has a way of picking up the most broken person and loving him on him like no human being could ever be. Some of you need to surrender your life. You gave your heart to Him and got saved. Some of you need to surrender your life. Father, as we close out this sermon, Lord, just the preaching part of it, Lord, your altar is going to be open for each and every one of us. Father, I know that there's some of us here today that need to speak with You. There's a message and a conversation, some, that You've been waiting on for quite a long time. I know there was a moment in my life, Lord, where You waited for about 3-4 years. I wasn't ready to talk. And when I was in that cave of refuge, Lord, oh, Lord, You messed me up. But for my own good. And You set me back on solid ground. Father, I pray for those that are here today that their spirit was open to Yours. That they may not just receive what You have to say today, but they would acknowledge what You have to say today. That they would take this moment as a serious moment in their life. Whether to talk with You about certain things or to ask You of something. Or even maybe to praise You because You are worthy of praise. May this moment where we open up just the doors of this moment of refuge, that there will be those who will take it and begin that conversation with You as David was in the cave of Adullam. And we thank You that when we leave it, we are much better, much stronger, and ready to do Your will. And we ask this, that Your Spirit move upon us in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Let's